Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's March 30th, 2018 program. Eugene City Council Ward 3 and Eugene City Council Ward 5 Candidates Forum. This is the 25th program in our 2017-2018 programming year. I'm Sandra Bishop, City Club President. Today's program is being co-hosted with the City Club of Eugene and the League of Women Voters of Lane County. Two positions on the Eugene City Council have contested races in the upcoming 2018 May primary. Today, we'll hear from candidates running for those two wards, Ward 2, the area around the University of Oregon, and Ward 5, representing areas of North Eugene. I'm sorry, Ward 3. Sorry. Ward 3, the area around the university, and also Ward 5, areas of North Eugene, representing those, and we have the candidates here today. We look forward to a dynamic and informative exchange of ideas. The City Club brings together civic-minded people to make Eugene a better place to live, work, and play. We are a member-supported nonprofit. Our members have a direct influence on public policy, or so we hope. If you're not already a City Club member, you can go to cityclubofeugene.org online to become a member. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including Gatos, Churnside and Balthrop, Attorneys at Law, Hearing Associates, Evans, Elder, Brown and Subert, Commercial Real Estate, and one of our Sapphire sponsors, George Rohde Repair Shops, providing car care with a conscience, with three repair locations in Eugene, Euro Asian Automotive, Stadium Automotive, and Auto House, or online at eugenerepairs.com. And special thanks to our in-kind sponsors, PacInfo and Simplified Computing, LLC, and to KLCC Radio. City Club programs are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 at 6:30 p.m. on Monday, following the program on Friday. The coordinators of today's program are Joel Corin and Kyle Shuver. So thank you to Joel and Kyle. And I'd like to extend a special thank you to the League of Women Voters for co-hosting and helping with the format and helping with the question vetting. So now I'd like to turn it over to our moderator, Rachel McDonald. Rachel is the interim news director. She's been with KLCC for about 10 years, and you've seen her moderating some very good candidate forums before. So, Rachel, thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the Eugene City Council Candidate Forum. I'm Rachel McDonald with KLCC. Today's forum is divided into two parts. So first we'll hear from the Ward 3 candidates, and you folks can come up here now. And then we'll hear from candidates for Ward 5. So we'll begin with opening statements from each candidate, and those are 2 minutes each. Then candidates will take questions from the audience and from sponsors, and I'll be reading the questions. Each candidate will have 1 minute to respond to the questions. And those of you who are asking questions, please go ahead and start writing those questions on the card supplied to you, and someone will be around to pick them up. You can just raise your hand. And we'll end each section with closing statements from each candidate, and those will be 1 minute each. So Ward 3 on the City Council represents the Southeast and University neighborhood of Eugene. The candidates are Thomas Bruno, a veteran and retired businessman who's lived in Oregon since 2008. Thomas can't be here today, so we have his campaign manager, Jason Brown. Hugh Patterson III has lived in Eugene's Amazon neighborhood since 2015, and he works for an international NGO. And Alan Zelenka has been a Eugene City Councilor for 10 years. He's an energy consultant and a University of Oregon alum. So now we'll hear those two-minute opening statements from candidates. Please step to the microphone to make your statements. We're doing this in alphabetical order, so we will start with Jason, in for Tom Bruno.
Okay, thank you very much. Tom couldn't be here this afternoon. He has had a long-standing date with his grandchildren down in California outside of Sacramento, so he asked me to come and speak for him. I'm Jason Brown. I'm a professor at the university in creative writing, and I've known Tom for a little more than a year and a half or so. I've lived here since 2011, and I live in the Fairmont neighborhood on top of Capitol Drive above the university. So I'm just going to read this, tell you a little bit about Tom. His occupational background, he was the CEO and owner of both a logistics engineering systems integration company and quality software company. He received his BS from, I think, the University of Kentucky, and he was in, as Rachel said, U.S. Army and two national laboratories. Thomas Bruno has lived in Eugene since 2008 and is currently the co-chair of Laurel Hill Valley Citizens Neighborhood Organization, which is where he lives, over in Laurel Hill Valley. And he's the co-chair of the Capitol Hill PUD Response Committee. Tom was drafted and served in the Army for 22 years as an enlisted and commissioned armor officer and is 60% disabled. He retired from the Army in 1992 as a disabled veteran. He formed Bruno Associates Incorporated in 1994, performing logistics engineering services and integration in support of logistics applications. This work involved verification and validation through various national laboratories, including the National Institute of Standards. Tom's business clients included more than 40 companies and many governmental agencies. Tom's last major project was designing 500-bed self-contained mobile Navy hospitals units capable of being stored for sea or aircraft movement. This is equivalent, he says, to boxing up everything at Riverbend Hospital.
Okay, I'm sorry, Jason, that's been 2 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just reading, so thank you.
Okay, thanks. Now, Hugh Patterson, third.
Opening comments?
Yes, 2 minutes.
Right. The measure for independent auditor sets the tone for this election season. The people in Eugene, I think, very clearly stated that they want clarity, openness, and a demonstration of responsibility from their elected and appointed officials. The essence of Eugene that we hold dear, be it the Eugene neighborhoods or the larger character of our city, is being challenged by internal and external pressures. The pace and scope of change in Eugene is set to increase as we look at relevant issues from state law. Do we have the policies in place to protect the essence and character of the Eugene that we so treasure? We are moving forward. We don't have any other choice, so we need to think about how we do that. I'm running for city council because we shouldn't embrace a future blindly. I'm offering voters a choice between the current status quo and someone who can listen to what we treasure and take the policy of directing to the levels that we need to do that at. We are a city that pushed Walmart out to the fringes of our community in favor of locally owned businesses, but we created an environment where we turned over a much bigger economic driver to outside investors, the rental housing market. There's no silver bullet for the housing, but we need principles and strategies that guide us in the long term, not just the short term. The university in Ward 3 is the biggest contributor to the housing demand, and we need to have a concerted growth that works with both the university and with the community as we grow together. You just bring in a higher enrollment, it doesn't solve community problems.
Thank you. Now, Ellen Zelenka.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Alan Zelenka. I've been a City Club member since 1991, past president, and I've lived in Ward 3 with my wife, Susie Smith, and our dogs for the past 34 years. And in fact, I remodeled my house twice so I didn't have to move out of our great neighborhood. It's been an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to serve as your counselor and neighbor in Ward 3, and I've been to countless meetings in every neighborhood. And many of you know when I go to those meetings, I give a council update to keep you abreast of what's going on at the council, but also gladly answer any and all questions that you might have. But more importantly, I go to those meetings to listen so that I can give voice to your concerns at the city council. And I believe I've focused on the issues and concerns that you've told me are the most important. Having served on the council, I have gained the experience and acquired the know-how to get things done. I have a great working relationship with my fellow counselors, and I don't need to start from scratch. Because of my leadership, Eugene has the strongest climate ordinance in the country, and I will fight to make sure we meet our climate goals. I've helped create the Sustainability Commission, and I make sure the city decisions take into account the triple bottom line. I have a long track record in support of neighborhood livability, including mitigating the parking and traffic impacts from the U of O arena, helping solve the Edison School parking issue, helping get protections for our neighborhoods from the Walnut Node and the onslaught of high-rise student housing in south of campus in the SUNY neighborhood. And I've advocated for more new ambulances and a work to improve public safety in the neighborhoods around the campus and in downtown. I recently prompted the city council to start a new dialogue about affordable housing and homelessness, which I've been working on for 25 years. And I've spearheaded many of the council's efforts to create homelessness solutions like the nationally recognized Opportunity Village and the Rest Stop programs. And I pushed for a high-speed fiber network and support of high-tech jobs with Create Family Jobs. And I supported a minimum wage. But what I'm probably most proud of is working with Mayor Piercy and Councilor Surrette adopting paid sick leave, which resulted in one of the best state laws in the country.
Thank you. This is quick. Now we're going to go to the question portion, and what we can do is each of you can answer the question. You'll have 1 minute for that answer, and we're going to start with this one. There are several local ballot measures before voters. What is your stance on them, and why do you recommend a yes or no vote? And I think we could probably keep this to the competing auditor measures since they're specific to the city of Eugene, and we'll start with Alan.
Sure, I think the auditor is a very important thing, and I think the city could benefit from it. The elected auditor proposal had three fundamental flaws for me that were fatal flaws. It did not have a residency requirement in it. It would make the only elected official in the state of Oregon that didn't have to live in the state of Oregon. It also cost way too much. Would have one of the highest paid elected officials in the state of Oregon, and then the $650,000 is an enormous budget for that work. And then third, it sets up a third branch of government with really no accountability mechanism. No citizen oversight board, no authority to implement anything that the council says, and it puts the council in a very awkward position of having to micromanage the city operations. The alternative measure, which I supported putting on the ballot, which citizens brought forward, fixes all of those fundamental flaws. So I'm in favor of the alternative measure to the elected auditor.
Thank you.
Yes, I am in favor of the independent auditor. It doesn't make sense to submit the auditor under the city manager. When I sit in the council meetings that are open to the public, I see a filtration of information to the council from which they get to act on, and that doesn't seem right to me. So the added voice that an independent auditor brings to the citizens and to the council makes a lot of sense. The larger budget does make sense when we think about that they're talking about not just a single person, but you're talking about funding several people to do the role of auditor. So the budget numbers are not comparable, in my opinion. So I support the independent auditor. I think it's great for Eugene.
And that's Hugh Patterson III. Now we'll hear from Jason Brown representing Thomas Bruno.
Hi, both Tom and I support the independent auditor for the same reason that I would support a strengthened Elizabeth Warren, consumer protection agency. We feel that the council actually has not enough oversight, in that someone who is an outsider is exactly what we need. And I need to only say City Hall. What happened with the money with City Hall, right? What happened with that debacle? My wife happens to have been involved in it, but so I know, you know, it was entirely too much of a waste of money. And so Tom is running, you know, because he wants to bring more transparency and more accountability into the city process, so that we as citizens know exactly what's happening, and that we, as you know, I think Hugh said, can have more of a voice in how our city develops over the next 20 years. As more and more people move to Eugene, you're going to see rapid economic pressures, and the city of Eugene absolutely must make responsible and sustainable decisions with regard to development, economic development, and homelessness. Thanks.
Thank you. This question is about housing. What would you do to promote more affordable housing, and can the city do anything to reduce some rents? I'm going to keep breaking up the order, so we'll start now with Hugh Patterson III.
Can you repeat the question?
What would you do to promote more affordable housing, and can the city do anything to reduce rent?
Yes, so we need different types of housing available. Obviously, the people that need a large house, you know, four bedrooms or something like that, not the same category of people that need smaller living spaces. So there are different people of different ages in our community. Some are downsizing, their kids have left, and they need something like that that's smaller. So the availability of housing for different lifestyles is an issue. When we look at the information that the city staff has brought forward, we have a housing crisis across multiple areas of income and multiple living situations. So when we talk about removing barriers to affordable housing, we need to look at our code base and say, okay, what are the options that we need to bring forward, and look at our community as communities rather than just individual pieces of property.
Alan next, or Jason? Let's go with Jason next and then Alan.
Well, Tom, this is one of Tom's major planks, and I don't have time to go into it, but essentially one of Tom's oldest friends is one of the largest builders of affordable housing in the United States. He's from Texas, and he's given, I think, over $50 million to different projects in the United States. And Tom plans to partner with this individual to create a study that would be conducted through the University of Oregon and create a fund to build affordable housing for the missing middle. Tom and I got involved in this issue of the planned urban development in our neighborhood up in Fairmont that threatens Hendricks Park, that was being pushed as a missing middle R1 zoning project. And that's exactly the kind of that kind of thing is the problem, because those are going to be million-dollar homes and not any homes for the missing middle. And then these mega dorms we have as part of the university also do very little, that get these huge tax breaks from the city council, also do very little for the missing middle. So more needs to be done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do have a housing affordability crisis, and I recently arranged for the city council to begin that dialogue about what to do about creating more affordable housing and the missing middle housing. There's three stages to a decision-making process. First, you listen, then you assess, and then you act. We listened to what the staff had to say. We went to the conference that was at the U of O, and then we're in the act in the assessing and acting phase. We need to diversify the supply and of our housing stock and the diversity of it. We need to assess the barriers and break them down and assess the incentives that we can make available, like this CET or SDC waivers or code changes or tax credits or exemptions, regulatory streamlining to get the cost down, inclusionary zoning, land use changes, and maybe even a community bank. And by the way, we've already eliminated MUPD, the tax breaks for student housing. That was sort of part of the MUPD reform that I helped lead, that we no longer give tax breaks to student housing developments.
Thank you. Next question, and this one will start with Jason in lieu of Tom. Can we ban assault weapons in Eugene?
I would love to do that, and I'm sure Tom would too. I mean, and I don't really know, you know, the ins and outs of how that would happen. I think that I can speak for Tom and myself in saying that this has got to be more than a city solution, but for in order for it to be effective. But I think that we need to start wherever we can start, and I believe Tom would say that too. And if we have to start on the local level and it has to build, that's exactly what we see happening with the school kids in Washington and in some other local communities throughout the United States, where you see local action snowballing into what may become national action. And so what I like about Tom is that he's not ideological. You know, he has a business background. He cares about the homeless. That's one of his major planks. He cares about safety in schools and community, but he's a pragmatist. He's a person who can get things done, and he's a transparent person. So that's really what I'm here to say. Thanks.
Thank you.
You know, I think there's that the assault weapons may be a thing that Eugene could do through city code and limiting that. But as soon as Eugene does that with city code, we would be up against a legal fight with state law. So it's something that I don't think we can solve here in Eugene. We can certainly be a part of a larger discussion statewide, but I think this is a state law issue.
Yeah, this is Alan Zelenka. Should we ban assault weapons? Yes, I think we probably should. I had a good friend that was killed by a handgun a bunch of years ago, and that changed my whole view of how ownership of guns and what bad people do with them. I don't think the city council actually has any authority to do that. It's a state law issue. But there is a ballot measure being put forward in November, I believe, that is still that we would be able to vote on the ban of assault weapons in the state of Oregon.
This one will start with Alan. And this question has to do with the big one. What should the city do to prepare Eugene for after the big one, earthquake?
Yeah, resiliency is a big, huge issue. We have done, and having been involved in this for a while, we are very, very unprepared. And we need to be better prepared. From the local neighborhood level, knowing what your neighbors have, doing preparedness at that level is extremely important. But be prepared for maybe months of not having electricity and water. So having your own thing together. My wife and I recently pulled together our box of all the different things that we need to pull together. We haven't completed it, but we're still working on it. So that's one thing to do. At the city level, we've looked at the bridges, we looked at our buildings, and we've done a very systematic approach that we're working on over the next year to assess what we need to do. And then we'll come up with a capital improvements program to shore up those buildings and facilities that we have. And then finally, it's the emergency response that needs to be robust and resilient. And we've been training and working on that for quite a long time so that we can really get down to it.
Thank you.
So will you be leveling the bridges like City Hall? I think there is some things that we can do in our community. You know, in Amazon neighborhoods where I live, there is some effort to make plans for how do you handle people who need to move out of disaster areas, and what do people need to have in place. What I don't see is when you have a disaster and some houses are not destroyed, and when some are, those become more homeless people, right? In a situation where we already have housing shortages, how are we going to solve additional housing need in a crisis situation? I don't see any good plans for that right now.
I'm speaking for Tom again. This is Jason. Well, Tom's an expert in this field. I mean, as a logistics expert and officer for the U.S. Army for 25 years, his expertise is getting things organized in conflict zones, disaster zones, you know, where everything falls apart. And I personally I've talked with Tom about this issue because I spent some time as a writer in Afghanistan around 2014 and spoke with him about the serious challenges there. So the question is, how do we deal with the two issues that Tom would say, how do we deal with the immediate aftermath of a crisis? And then just as important, how does the city rebuild in the years after the crisis? And if you look at New Orleans and Puerto Rico, one of the major problems with post-crisis environments is that the people who already have enormous resources benefit enormously from the rebuilding. And the middle class and the lower class people become refugees. And that's what's happening in Puerto Rico, that's what happened in New Orleans, and that's what will happen here unless we prepare
Your time's up now. Sorry. So I think we have time just for one more question and then closing statements. So this one is about homelessness. Homelessness has been one of the largest issues facing our community. What have you done or what would you do to help solve this crisis? We'll start with Hugh Patterson on this one.
You know, there's many different kinds of homelessness, and so there's no one solution. And one of the best things I think we can do in city government is to work with the nonprofit sector that is doing things. Lane Leadership Council, if I'm not mistaken, they are working in building new housing options. I think there was an article in the Register Guard a few days ago about for people coming out of prison. So there are different NGOs working in our nonprofits, working in our community to solve this problem. And I think getting behind that as a great way forward.
Thank you. We'll go to Jason next.
This is Jason speaking for Tom again. I've spoken with Tom about this issue, and he has the same plan he has for the missing middle, he has for the homeless situation. And, you know, I think Eugene has done a lot of wonderful things, and Alan's done a lot of great things on the city council to try to help this issue. But Tom wants to bring in some of this sort of private investment from this individual he's known to create grants and work with the university to, you know, create more housing for the homelessness at the same time that he creates, is able to create more housing for the missing middle. And what does that mean exactly? He defines it as homes that could be purchased from $80,000 to, say, $120,000, which is really hard to find around Eugene at this point. So I think these two issues need to be attacked in different ways and at the same time, and through cooperation with the university. Get the university involved in studying the problem, studying ways to solve the problem. Integrate the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Alan Zelenka again. Since I've been on council, Eugene has become a national leader on homelessness issues and dealing with homelessness. There is no silver bullet. There's silver buckshot. And we have 31 different programs and projects that we're doing in the city of Eugene. In 2017, we spent about over $5 million on housing and poverty issues. And so we're doing quite a bit, 31 different programs. That's the silver buckshot. The pilots, Opportunity Village and the Rest Stop, I was proud to make those motions to get those going in the city of Eugene. They become national models. We need to replicate those. We put $1 million up to study a public shelter. One of the issues with the public shelters, we need our community partners to play with us. We can't do it alone as Eugene, and $1 million isn't going to build a shelter. And we could probably build a shelter, but what I'm real concerned about is how do you sustain it over time? That's the big issue. Getting the capital abilities is probably easier than sustaining over time. And then in the meanwhile, we need to keep funding those 31 projects and do more about affordable housing.
Okay. Sorry, this is so quick. We have to move on to our second section. So we'll have closing statements from each of you, and we'll go in the reverse order of how we did the opening statements. So Alan Zelenka, you get to go first, and you have a minute.
1 minute. I wanted to reiterate what an honor and privilege it's been to work for you as your city councilor. I worked hard for you over the last decade or so. During this forum, I've mentioned many of the things that we've accomplished together to make Eugene a better place to live. And my commitment to you is that I will continue to make positive change, provide leadership, bring new ideas and innovation to the council to help solve the problems that are facing Eugene. I pledge to listen, to collaborate, work with our counselors, our staff, and the citizens of Eugene to craft solutions to problems and move us forward. If I'm reelected, I'll continue to be a sustainability leader. I'll continue to advocate for public safety and neighborhood protection. I'll continue to position Eugene for a new era of high-tech jobs and continue to work hard for affordable housing and alleviate homelessness. So I'd like, if you'd like to learn more about my campaign, go to alanzelenka.com. If you want to contact me, you can do it at alan@alanzelenka.com or call my cell phone, 541-337-6714. Thanks for the opportunity, and don't forget to vote by May 15th.
Thank you. Hugh, your turn.
Thank you, yes. So I hope you vote for me. My commitment is to give you something different than what you've had for the last years. The problems that we face as a community are not created overnight. We've known about things like the housing crisis for 20 years. If we want something different, then we need change.
Thanks. This is Jason speaking for Tom again. I mean, all I can say is that I plan to vote for Tom. I'm from Maine. That's where I was raised and brought up, and I'm a cranky Yankee. And I grew up in an environment where people were not left or right, Republican or Democrat, so much as they were pragmatists. What were the pragmatic answers? They weren't anti-business, and they weren't anti-this or anti-that. They wanted to see what would work. And Tom is that kind of person. And I think he has some very interesting solutions for the considerable challenges facing Eugene over the next 20 years as more and more people move here, and we're going to see a lot more economic development. We need more parks. We need to somehow reconcile the pressures of homelessness with the need to develop downtown. We need more transparency in government. And that is Tom's major plank, transparency in our city council. I think, the city council has done a lot of great things in a lot of ways, but as someone who grew up in a small town, it reminds me of small town politics. We need to start having much more of a kind of mature, vision for our future. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Ward 3 candidates. We'll take a moment now for the Ward 5 candidates to come up, and meanwhile, Sandra Bishop has a little bit of City Club business to take care of.
Thank you, everyone. I really want to acknowledge and thank those of you who are here in the audience today, and also thank you for those who are listening on the air. The City Club is a nonprofit organization. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including Gatos, Chernside, and Balthrop, Attorneys at Law, Hearing Associates, Evans, Elder, Brown, and Subert, Commercial Real Estate. And special thanks to our in-kind sponsors, University of Oregon, Academic Extension, and Dot Dotson's Photography, and KRVM 91.9. Radio.
You're listening to KLCC, informing and inspiring listeners for more than a half century. Broadcasting in HD at KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1, KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College.
So I'll turn it back over to Rachel for our second half. Thanks.
So now we will hear from the candidates for Ward 5. Ward 5 represents North Eugene and Cal Young neighborhoods. We've got Mike Clark, a University of Oregon alum who works as a mortgage loan officer. He's been a Eugene City Councilor for almost 12 years. And Christopher Dean is a real estate broker. He's president-elect of the Eugene Association of Realtors. We'll hear two-minute opening statements from each candidate in alphabetical order. So that means we're starting with Mike.
Thank you. I appreciate everybody being here today and the opportunity to talk again. As Rachel mentioned, I'm Mike Clark, and it has been my privilege to represent the people of Ward 5 for 11 and a half years now. Actually, Alan and I were elected at the same time, so we both have. I, as she mentioned, am a part-time city councilor. I'm a full-time mortgage broker, and I am a much fuller time parent of two teenage people. For those parents in the room, I appreciate the chuckle. You understand me. I'm running again for a fourth term because of the fact that there is so much to do yet on council. And in this next 4 years, we're going to make some very important decisions that are going to be they're going to shape the future of our community for an awfully long time. The second reason that I'm running is because I believe over this time I've been a good voice for the people and their views in Ward 5. A couple of the things, we're going to finally, I hope, make final decisions on a new city hall this next term. We're going to review what we've done with Envision Eugene and take a look at that in the course of this next four-year time and perhaps come up with some new solutions for housing affordability and some of the other issues that have already been mentioned here. There are a whole host of issues at the council's last goal-setting retreat here just a few weeks ago. We talked about three things that we're going to focus on this year: housing, homelessness, and public safety. And there are some critically undone things that many of us have been working on for a while that I'd like to continue to effort on, as well as a couple of key projects that are going on in Ward 5, very important to the constituents in my ward, that are about three quarters of the way done now, and I'd like to see the completion. So that's why I'm running again. Thank you very much.
I'm Christopher Dean, and I just wanted to start out by saying three times today, when I walked in, somebody came up to me and said, "Christopher or Chris?" And that's fine. Chris is good. But what's going to happen is tomorrow you're going to talk to a friend or a family neighbor and you're going to say, "I heard Christine talk last night." And you're going to think, "Well, Christine who? Christine, the tall, Christine." Yeah. So just fair warning. 2018 has been very special for me because I came down with a hockey team 20 years ago in 1998. And I fell in love with Eugene, but more importantly, I met and fell in love with my beautiful wife, Kate. And in 2005, we ended up moving here and making Eugene our home. We bought our house over in Larkspur. So I've been in Ward 5 for 11 years now. I started in real estate 13 years ago, and thank you. Became a principal broker and got elected on the Eugene Association of Realtors as the principal broker, vice president, and now I'm the president-elect. It's really given me a lot of clarity to see what's going on in the building side. And I'm in a position where I'm able to sit down with developers and builders and first-time buyers and people that have to transition into affordable housing or maybe into don't have any housing because they can't afford it. We've got one heck of a housing crisis going on the last 5-6 years now. Eugene is the second tightest housing market in the nation. That's crazy. How did we get here? I think I know I'm out of time here, but I think what we need is city councilors that can work together for Eugene. This is not about me. I don't want to be doing this. I want to help. I want to give back to my community. And that's what I'm doing here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll go over some of the same questions from the previous section because they are pretty important. So let's start by talking about the two auditor measures that are on the ballot. And we'll start with you, Christopher Dean.
Yes, I understand why this has all come to place, and I've talked to, like I said, architects and developers, and there's a trust issue with city government and the people, and they just don't understand how come we buy parkland, but we can't look after our parks. Why do we have a homeless situation? You know, why are we letting people out of, the jail? And I know that's a different thing, but people get very frustrated, and that's why that auditor's up. I understand and I support having a city auditor. What I want to make sure is that we get the best city auditor. And that's going to come up, and whether it's elected or whether it's, somebody that they can pick and bring over from anywhere in the country, I just want to make sure it's the best person. And the second thing I want to make sure is that we don't spend, $150,000 on a salary and another, $50,000 on cars and everything else for this one person when we need like police officers and they get paid like $42,000 a year. We could do a lot with that. But again, it's got to be transparent.
Thank you. Mike Clark.
Thank you. On this issue, I have mentioned at council that I would not campaign in either direction because folks in our community did all the hard work to bring that question to the ballot, and they deserve to answer it on their own, and I'm happy to see them do that. I voted no at the council table, no offense to my colleagues, but I voted no at the, well, I guess two of them in the room did as well. I voted no on the citizen, on the council initiated auditor question, because I thought, I'm just going to be frank, I thought that was a fairly transparently cynical attempt to kill the first one. And I'm not particularly in favor of it, but I get the points that would make an elected independent auditor a good thing. Yes, it's true that staff give us only sometimes the information they'd like us to have for the sake of decision making, and I think we could make good and maybe even better decisions with other information. But I'm pretty neutral. I'll be excited to see how people answer that question.
Thank you. Let's talk about affordable housing. What would you do, what can you do to promote more affordable housing in Eugene? And we'll start with Mike Clark.
Thank you. I might as well just stay standing up here. There are a number of things that we could do. What we have is a significant problem. I'm not an economist, although I see one in the back of the room. But I can tell you that the council's recent process with Envision Eugene, plans for the 34,000 people that Portland State folks say are coming, that's about 1% growth a year. If you look at what we've actually had in the last 2 years, it was 1.92 last year, was 1.88 the year before. Extrapolated out, that's 75,000 people, not 34, by 2035, which was our planning period. If you look back 15 years from the permit department, as I have, you'll find that we used to build 700 to 800 single-family homes a year, and today it's in the 200s most years. So when you have, and the council has, the council majority have elected to consider several different measures, from a CET to others, that will add significant cost to new homes. When exploding demand meets diminishing supply, that's not a prescription for getting more affordable housing. We need to change
our
course.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is something that's really dear to my heart because I'm all about home ownership. We do have some problems, but my numbers are a little bit different. I heard in the next 20 years, we're gonna have probably 35,000 to 50,000 moving into town. So we gotta figure out what to do. And right now, from what I understand, we've got, we're not gonna do anything in the urban growth boundary for the next 3 years. And what do we do? What are we gonna go? And I think that what we have to concentrate on is maybe going up downtown. We gotta have some ideas. I'm not talking high rises. I'm talking like four-story buildings downtown to promote a walkable neighborhood so that people can be there and they can walk over to Whole Foods and they can walk back and they walk to the courthouse. That's sort of the idea that we need, because we need a vision of what we're gonna look like in those 20 years. And right now it's fallen off the rails. I mean, 20 years ago we should have been thinking about this. I've had two or three people come up to me in the last couple days and said, all I want is to live downtown in a condo, and they don't exist. We gotta fix that. I got a plan.
Thank you. Now, we're gonna switch it up a bit. Should there be changes to the ordinances regulating marijuana retailers and dispensaries in Eugene? And Christopher, we'll start with you.
I don't inhale, so. I just think there's too many. I mean, if we all of a sudden, came out of, the 1930s and we had alcohol available, would we have like a bar on every street? And that's sort of what's happening right now. So I think there should be some kind of more control. Just, it's going to get a mess. And, Seattle's going to go that way. California's going to go that way. So I think we got to have some more thoughtfulness about where we're going to give these permits and stop just giving them to everyone.
This is Mike. I voted against the idea of a 1,000-foot buffer initially and decided that I was wrong about that. And so I asked for reconsideration of that at council, and it failed again, even though I changed my vote. If it comes up for a third time, I'll support it again. I think it's the wise decision. I think for a number of reasons we go on and on about. But I'd like to say something about the last question as well. I agree with my with my opponent about the idea of building more density. You bet. The trouble is when you start talking about what that really looks like. There's 10 acres, for example, off of Willamette, over there where there used to be a baseball park. That's right in the middle of where some people consider downtown. Should that be high rises? I bet you there's a whole bunch of folks in here who would say no. It's not an easy process to decide how and where density goes, and that's what we've come up against. This is a process where we should look at a balanced approach over time. And I have an entire set of ideas about what we should do on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's not going to work. Nobody wants high rises. No one wants to change that. What we need is responsible buildings that people can live in. He's talking about the area on Willamette there. I'm talking about down Fifth Street. When people come in from out of town, I take them down to the Fifth Street Market, and they walk around, and they say, this is incredible. Now they want to expand that and go a little bit down more Fifth. Why not keep going down to like where the QVC building is there, that old brick building. Turn that into maybe condos or rentals or something like that. Make it so that people can walk all the way up and down and they don't need cars. So okay. I just wanted to say, high rises is not what I'm talking about.
So homelessness has been one of the largest issues affecting our community. What have you done or what would you do to help solve this crisis? And Mike Clark, I think we're actually starting with you.
Alan mentioned the 31 things that we have done, and I think that it's admirable what council has tried to do to this point, and it's been recognized federally and nationally by all kinds of folks for the innovative things we've tried, but frankly, it's not enough. It's not even close to enough. One of the things that I have advocated since, oh golly, I don't even remember how long, is the idea that our community is filled with an awful lot of very compassionate people. And I don't believe for a minute that our council has leveraged the power of our community as well as we might to become parts of the solution. Councilor Semple and I have been speaking recently about some ideas that we might bring to council this next year about how we leverage the vast majority of our fellow citizens to be parts of the solution with this process. And I think that's one way we can, but we also need to talk about it differently. I think we need to serve people who need and want to get well and deal with those who don't differently. Thank you.
All right, so for me, the first thing that I always talk to people about is when we talk about homeless and homeless situation, it's not just talking about somebody that you step over on Broadway and Willamette. That's not what this is about. That is a problem, that has been an issue. But to me, homeless means more like if I don't have the money for my mom to, you know, where is she going to go? My sister or my brother, if they need help, where do they go? And we've got a large community of people from Eugene and from Oregon that are homeless. And we've got to fix that. And our board, the association, got together with Dan Bryant, and he brought in a fantastic development called Square One Village, which is Emerald Village. And I was there when they were giving out keys to a 65-year-old who's on Social Security. And she cried because she'd never had a house. And that's what we need. And I know Mike voted against the Opportunity Village when it first came in. This thing is outstanding. People from all across the nation are looking at this because this is groundbreaking. And it's outstanding. We need more of that stuff.
Thank you. Let's talk about public safety. Eugene police officials say too few officers are on duty to respond to a growing number of calls for service. And EPD's response time is significantly longer than Springfield Police. Is this a problem? And if elected to city council, what actions would you advocate to address police staffing levels and services? And we'll start with Christopher, please.
Yes, we do not have enough police. We need to work this out. We got to figure this thing out. I live, you know, at like Cal Young and North Kinzie. And, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day and I just said, I see a police car go by once every 2 days. I just saw a major problem that happened and eight cars showed up with eight police officers. They don't ride together anymore. That's one of my things I think is most important is looking after ourselves, our families, our children, and we need more police. That's not an issue. We've got to figure it out. And that goes back to this whole auditor situation. How many police officers could we get for $200,000? And if we can come up with $650,000 to get, you know, this all funded for an auditor, why can't we come up with $650,000 for police.
I just want to say that I'm proud to have, as I have always had, the endorsement of the Eugene Police Employees Association. One of the reasons is because of the 192 sworn officers, each and every one of them do far more for our community than would be expected of officers in almost any other. One of the ways we could have effective policing would be to have what many call community policing. But to have community policing, you need an officer to have at least 20 to 30% of their time unallocated to responding to an emergency call so that they can check stuff out, talk to people. Right now, we don't even get to 30% of the 911 calls. I'm proud to have their endorsement because of all of those measures to add police officer positions, in I think the last 10 years, I've made the motions at Budget Committee to do all of them, including the 9 for downtown. And every time I have said the same thing, we are massively understaffed for our police department. Thank you.
This same question I'll bring you that we had at the previous section, and just it's regarding banning assault weapons. Just what are your thoughts on that? Is that something we should do if we could?
Thank you very much. This is Mike. I have no doubt in my mind at all if you put that question to the general population of Eugene, it would pass massively and overwhelmingly. I don't have any question about that at all. I tend to be a pragmatic guy. I tend to want to focus my work on council on the things that matter most to people who live here, the things that are our job to do, and the things we can actually accomplish. I tend to get cranky about making resolutions and statements about much larger issues because there's a shortage of council time and so many important things that we need to actually do. So to this one, I can say, yeah, we could do that, but we have a city next door named Springfield and they'll never do it. And so how pragmatic that is, I don't know. I think what we really need to ask is why, not what. I think, why do young men feel the need for vengeance? That's a question I'd like to ask more often and do more study of. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, we should look at the assault rifles. No one's trying to take away guns. We just want common sense. That's it. If you have an assault rifle right now and it's legal, it should be registered. We should know where these things are. Nobody needs to buy 1,000 rounds of ammunition at one sitting. I mean, this is just common sense stuff, and it breaks my brain when the NRA is saying, no, you need bullet piercing, weaponry. It just drives me crazy. I think common sense is just the way we ought to go, and I think Eugene has a lot of common sense. I know it's not a city thing, it's a state thing, but I do like the direction the state's going in.
Okay, we have time for one more question, and then we'll have our closing statements. Do you support a construction excise tax? Christopher Dean, we'll start with you.
So just a couple weeks ago, I was able to sit on a board with the Better Housing Together people. And there was a bunch of volunteers there. And on the other end of the table was builders and architects and developers. And of course, we have a problem here because the developers and the builders are saying no to any CET. And everyone else is saying, but we need affordable housing. We've got to move forward. How do we do that? So there's a number of plans. I know that Ben came up with going like 1/3% instead of a full 1%. And we talked, and the problem is like the permits right now in the city is what's really killing the developers. Sometimes the city is making more money off of their permits than the developers making on the project. And it's also taking so long to get there. But what I heard in that meeting was there was common ground. There was people that would say absolutely no to the excise tax coming around and saying, well, if we could do something on the permitting, we'll work with you guys. There's a solution there.
While I believe that building subsidized housing is a part of the solution for affordable housing, I think most people would agree you can't build enough subsidized housing fast enough to keep up with the problem because our market is so massively unbalanced. I'd prefer that the council spend its time doing things that bring the market back into balance. And exploding, like I talked about at the beginning, exploding demand and diminishing supply met with massive additional cost throws that market farther out of balance, not puts it into balance. The CET would add $2,500 to $3,000 per new home built. We've doubled transportation SDCs this year. That's about $2,500 per new house. We're going to add new parks SDCs as an increase that will add another, no one knows the number yet, so I'll not speculate. We've also got the parks bond that will go out and levy. We've also got the school district. That's $10,000 per new house. You don't get a balanced market or more affordable housing by adding those kind of costs to everything we build. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we have 1 minute each for closing statements, and we'll go in reverse order from before. So Christopher Dean, you get to go first.
Thank you. Just going back to that same question, is that's exactly what I'm talking about. We have to come together with a solution. I'm not talking about adding all these costs. That's not what this is about. What this is about is coming together. And I think when I talk to people about, and I go door to door talking to people about the city council, they're most frustrated that they don't get along. City council is supposed to be nonpartisan. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. And if you're on the left or on your right and you're digging in your heels and you're saying over my dead body, those people have got to go. What we need is a city council, and it might be a vision for 10 or 8 years down the road, but we need a city council that works together, and they understand if they don't work together, they're gone because somebody else will come in there and work together to make it work, because it's not about them. It's about Eugene and getting things done. That's the most important, and that's what I want to do. I think this is pretty simple, but again, maybe I'm Pollyanna, but I can tell you I've got some good ideas.
I would take issue with what my opponent has said. I think the councilors do get along. I like my colleagues very much as people. We certainly don't always agree. I think there's plenty of times Betty's right, and there's plenty of times she's wrong. One of the things she was right about was when she agreed with me and we got rid of parking meters downtown. I thought she was right as rain on that one. And each of them, their heart is right. They're trying to serve their constituents and their community. We don't agree, and that's okay. It's because there's a huge diversity of opinion in this community, and that's as it should be. And it's good when Betty and I could agree on parking and we'll pass that. Or, you know, George Brown and I, before Emily was there, working on MUPTI and redoing that and trying to fix that and all of the things that I've had a chance to vote with colleagues on. But there are times we're going to disagree, and that's because the people of our community have honest disagreements. And that's this. I think we worked them out quite well today compared to how we have in the past. And I'd appreciate anyone's support. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you to City Council candidates Mike Clark and Christopher Dean. That wraps up the Eugene City Council Candidate Forum. Thank you to the City Club of Eugene and the League of Women Voters.
Thank you. This is Sandra Bishop, City Club President. I'd like to make a couple quick announcements here at the end. Thank you to public radio station KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Monday at 6:30. And thank you to Community Television of Lane County, Cable, Channel 29, for televising recent City Club programs. Please join us next Friday, April 6th, for another candidate forum. This is for the Oregon House District 11. Both the Democrat and the Republican candidates will be there. So hopefully you will be there as well. If you're not already a City Club member, you can join by going to the City Club's website at cityclubofeugene.org. And now I'd like to give another round of applause to the candidates and to Rachel McDonald for our moderator today. Thank you. That concludes today's program.